Good morning, podcast audience. This is your podcaster, Ken Hodge, with a message for you today. I hope most of you seen the post I put on Facebook on the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast page and the 180 Degree page pertaining to a situation in Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to talk about the situation. We don't need to mention names. Here we go. And let me start off by saying, since I don't have the original bid results, I don't have the original bid assignment, I'm giving you what we call office talk. Can anything I say be proven? Well, I usually don't say things that can't be proven. Here we go. We've got a mail handler who bid on a position. Mail handler, I guess, was working at one of the other sites, not at CityGate, but the bid went in nonetheless. Come to find out, a mail handler was awarded the bid, but another mail handler, I guess, was advised or made aware that the person may have been on higher level when making the bid, or there were circumstances surrounding the successful bidders actually bidding properly to receive the job. So, given this information, the runner-up to the successful bidder, for lack of a better phrase, looked into it, and apparently there was an issue. So, the runner-up contacted, I'm assuming the union, and he and I had a conversation. And the reason I am adamant about whatever it is I'm about to share with you, you got to understand, this is what I do. In this case here, had the successful bidder approached me in conversation and said, listen, I have been awarded this bid, they're trying to take it, I would fight just as hard to make sure that that would be legitimate, or if that's BS, we would have it thrown out. So, in this case, I'm representing the individual who did not get the bid. So, you have to understand that, because it's not a me against anybody. I represent mail handlers, clerks, letter carriers to the best of my ability and to the strongest of my ability. In this case, it just so happened that the conflict is between two mail handlers, and we're going to resolve the conflict as per our contract, and we're going to do the right thing regardless of how people view my actions to get the right thing done. Now, I'll say this, if the reason that the bid cannot be awarded to the successful bidder is a result of being on higher level, and the successful bidder was on higher level, it does not matter to me that as per the postal management, it was an accident. That doesn't matter to me at all. If you check the clock rings, and the day in question, the time in question, the period in question, if that's what it was, then that's what it was. There's no more to that. I made a mistake, no. You received pay at that higher level. You did not turn it in. So therefore, I mean, again, it may have been a mistake, but this is not how you correct a mistake, by just having you pay the difference and still maintain a bid. That's not how you correct a mistake, because that's just not how that's supposed to be done. If, again, I say, and listen to what I say, if the reason the successful bidder will not be or should not be awarded that bid based solely on a higher level day, then I say the clock rings are what the clock rings are. And if it's an error, well, we're going to put a process in place not to duplicate this error, but we're not going to allow the successful bidder to maintain that bid based on what you consider an error. Now, this is where the saga gets real interesting. I would imagine that in the process of investigating, through this process called discovery, now you find out that, again, you're looking for day in question, week in question, period in question, to see was the employee on higher level or not. But what you find is there are numerous situations where and the acting SDO, which is his mother, put clock rings in for him. In other words, mom made sure her son got higher level pay, which is a natural instinct, but we work for the post office. You see, if Columbus paid a little more attention to just favoritism and nepotism, they probably would have addressed this already.
Now, I'm going to condense this because I really want to talk about this new LMOU, Local Memorandum of Understanding, we have in Columbus, Ohio. So here we go. We got a parental unit putting in clock rings for her sibling, which should never happen. But nonetheless, the individual who did not get the bid apparently got into a conversation with the successful bidder's parent, acting SDO, and there was an alleged, and I say that very cautiously, threat made or threatening words used when the acting SDO addressed that mail handler. Now, this is where I go from zero to 100. As an EEO representative, I am more than aware of numerous employees who get walked out of that building for alleged threat communications until an investigation is done, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this is what really, really, again, takes me from zero to 100 rather quickly. The employee reported what was an alleged threat to the MDO. Now, let me tell you something about the MDO. I happen to know firsthand that the same MDO put a young lady out of work because she was there when an alleged threat was made. Did you hear what I'm saying? And I'm sorry I have to say this in this manner, but if you work in Columbus, Ohio, you got to understand what I'm talking about. So if you have the authority or autonomy to put someone out of work who was just there when the alleged threat was made, why is it that when you're told of a direct, what was considered a threat, no action was taken? Not only was no action taken, the employee went to the inspection service on their own. And I just want everyone in Columbus to understand that that's how Columbus, Ohio is doing business right now. Let's get off postal management and slide over to your union. First, I want to let all members in Columbus know that you have a new local contract, and you've had one for several months now. I know, you didn't know, I didn't know. Some of your stewards didn't even know. But nonetheless, you have one. And I want to start off by saying, before I even read it, the fact that there's a new local agreement that nobody seems to have knowledge of, I now have to wonder who the hell had input in whatever was changed. Let's talk about this new LMOU. And just so we're clear, when I say LMOU, I'm talking about the Local Memorandum of Understanding. You better know it, known as the local contract. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to start my podcast show. We're going to talk about all of it. But I'm going to start today in item C, because we're going to talk about formulation of local leave policies. And I'm going to read to you from the LMOU. By January 15th, management will begin to circulate the vacation selection calendar for each section by seniority. Each mail handler will make his or her selection from the available weeks by noting his or her name on the vacation selection calendar for their selection. The employee will be afforded a reasonable period to make his or her selection, but no employee shall unduly delay the selection process. Vacation schedules should be posted by March 1st of each year. Now, this is what I got. And if you don't like how I interpret it, go to your union office, get your own copy of the local memorandum of understanding, and tell me what you come up with. So what they're going to do, they're going to go to the senior person. And let me tell you, this is nothing new. This is the old way of doing, formulating leave policy. But we changed it because you'll find out that it's going to create a problem. And that problem is, what they're going to do is give the calendar to the senior person. Senior person, from my understanding, will have 3 days to make a selection. You bring the calendar back. It goes to the next person. And the next person and the next person. Well, right off the bat, they got to start this by January 15th. And they want to be finished by March 1st. Well, if you have 20 people in your unit and everybody gets 3 days, you do the math. That brings you to March 15th. So already they set themselves up for a rough road to travel on. Now, they're banking on everybody not taking 3 days. But again, and I'm not objecting to that because most people won't. But you cannot set the policy up that I give you 3 days, and then if everybody takes the amount of time you give them, now, you're not going to make that March 1st if you have at least 20 people in your unit. Now, you're not going to make that March 1st posting. So now that's going to create a negative work atmosphere. But nonetheless, again, that's what it is. When a mail handler is not available to make his or her selection, and he or she has not notified management of his or her request, management and the union will jointly make an attempt to reach the mail handler prior to advancing to the next senior employee. So if you're out, they can't get in touch with you for whatever reason, management's going to try to contact you, and then they're going to make that last attempt by bringing the union in to contact you, and then they're going to skip you and go to the next person. Above the 15% or 16% for choice vacation periods, any other leave will be on a first-come basis at the discretion of the supervisor. Now, I'm going to talk to you about that 15% and that 16%. So anything above that for choice vacation, now, again, it's possible that the supervisor can approve it, but they don't have to. When they say at the discretion, understand that means if they flatly refuse you because they're above the 15%, don't walk away in your feelings, just walk away, because they have the autonomy to do that. An employee, upon request, 1 week in advance, will be granted 1 day annual leave on his or her birthday and or wedding anniversary once per calendar year. So you can get your birthday off if you let them know in advance and your wedding anniversary off if you let them know in advance. And it says and or, so you can possibly get both of those days off if you let them know in advance. Let's go to item D. The choice vacation period will begin on the third Saturday in January of each year and run through the full week in November, the last full week in November. The 7-day period from December 25th through January 1st will be a choice vacation period with an allotment of 15%. This period is only between December 25th and January 1st, effective with the 2021 vacation sign-up period. Now, let me take a moment and explain to you about that 15 or that 16% that you hear me talking about for choice vacation. In order to arrive at what 15 or 16% is going to be, you first have to understand how many people are in the unit. Who's being counted? Who's not being counted? Are MHAs part of the whole, even though an MHA has their own pay location? Are you going to count them, which will give you a greater number of employees, and naturally 15% of a greater number will yield more employees off on vacation. When we talk about 15% or 16%, let me try to break that down into more digestible numbers for you. When we're at 15%, for every 10 mail handlers, you can have 2 male handler's off. Okay? The math comes to 1.5. So you'll get 2 male handlers off for every 10 male handlers you have. When you're at 16%, the math comes out to 1.6, which is 2 male handlers off. So, I mean, again, that's just what the math works out to. If I'm only using a whole number of 10, every 10 male handlers in a section that requires you to have 2 people off, whether you're at 15% or 16%, because the math is 1.5 and 1.6. Now, I normally like to keep my postal podcast to 15 minutes, but we're going to go 20 today. I'm going to move right over to item E. The determination of the beginning of an employee's vacation period. The vacation week shall begin on the first day of the employee's basic work week. Exceptions may be granted by agreement among the employee, the union rep, and the employer. So any changes to the beginning of your vacation period, it's got to be 3 people to agree to that, and your union just can't agree for you. Item F, method of selecting choice vacation periods. Employees may, at their option, request 2 selections during the choice vacation periods in units of either 5 days or 10 days, not to exceed the 10 or 15-day total during such period. The employee's second selection shall be made after all employees have been given the opportunity to make their first selection. All choice vacation selections shall be made by seniority. So you're going to get to make 2 selections. You take your first 1 week or 2 week selection, 5 days, 10 days, not to exceed 15, then you turn the calendar back in. After all employees have made their selection, the calendar will start a different rotation and you will make your second selection. Management shall consider an employee's request to cancel in full or in part any part of their choice vacation provided written notice is provided to the supervisor the Wednesday prior to the beginning of the scheduled vacation. So if you let management know the week prior that you're not going to use all your vacation week that you may have put in for, then as long as you let them know a week prior, what should happen is they should allow you to turn in whatever part you want. And then that part should become available to other employees. Now, let me just put this side note in real quick before I give you this last bit of information. Whenever you are negotiating contracts, it is always a give and take. But with the, I was going to say with the people we have negotiating on behalf of our union, it's just a give management whatever they want. But anyway, in order for postal management to make that 1 week after Christmas to New Year's part of your choice vacation period, it appears that your union gave away all of the light duty assignments from the last local agreement. There are currently 2 assignments that are considered light duty in the mail handler craft. And that is rewrap, and flip-flop 500 belt. Now, you look at your old contract, there was a list of light-duty assignments. But it appears to me that in order for 1 extra week of vacation, somebody negotiated away all your light-duty assignments. And I say to you again, there's no need to get upset, because there's nothing you're going to do to change this until the next time you get an opportunity to open up your local agreement. And trust me, there's no way management is going to give that back to you. When we talk about number 15%, 16%, number of people that are going to be let off within their work assignments, you got to understand something. As per your local agreement, let me give you the work assignments. There's the dock, universal sorter, TMS, consolidated dispatch, high-speed trace sorter. Oh, that's 1 assignment. So if it's 1 assignment for a vacation, then anything that's ambiguous as to what job you get to do as per your seniority to the mail handlers and TMS, this should answer it for you. TMS, consolidated dispatch in high-speed trace order, is one work area. Flats, newspaper openings, one work area. Automation, O30, one work area. The bundle sorter and the SPSS, one work area. Apps and priority scan where you band, one work area. 10, 20 AFCSs are one work area. FSS is a work area by itself. And express and letters scan where you band is one work area. And the reason I spent that time letting you know one work area, the areas that I just defined for you, the total number of mail handlers, career mail handlers in that section divided by 15% will give you the number of employees or number of mail handlers that will be allowed to be off at any given time. Again, there are 15% and 16%, and the 16% is a specific time that we'll talk about later. Hey, listen, this is Kenny Hodge on the KHP, and I got a whole lot to say, so I'm probably going to come at you again in about 2 days, but I'm going to keep you informed because let me tell you something. We've got a whole new group of mail handlers coming in, and their focus is different, and I like the energy that they're bringing in. I think if someone was there as a coach and mentor, we could rebuild that branch of 304 into a powerful union branch. And yes, I said rebuild. This is Kenny Hodge on the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. If you hang out with me, I guarantee you're going to like what I have to show you.